Jaya Kanjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Kanjabi Hari. Gopi Chanabalaba Jaya Giriva Radhari Jaya Giriva Radhari Gopi Janavalabha Jaya Grivaradhari Jaya Grivaradhari Yasodanandana Jaya Vajjanaranjana Yasodanandana Jaya Rajajana Ranjana Yamuna Chiravanachari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Yamuna Chiravana Chari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Gopi Chanabalabha Jaya Grivaradhari Jaya Grivaradhari Gopi Chanabalabha Jaya Girivarari, Jaya Girivarari. Yasuranandana Jaya Rajajanarayana Yasuranandana Jaya Rajajanarayana Yamuna Chiravanachari Chaya Kunjabihari Chaya Kunjabihari Yamuna Chiravanachari Jaya Kunjabihari Jaya Kunjabihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava, Radhe. Jaya Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava, Radhe. Jaya Radha Chamasunda Radha, Chamasunda Radha. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya, Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Radha Shama Sunda ki jai, Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Prajacharya Stuart Tradition of Language. Abhay Charan Arvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nandakuri Vaishnava Ki Jai. Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Shri Guru Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaura Gopinath Shyamakanda Radha Kanda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Navadvipa Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Maya Jumnamaya Ki Jai. Salsi Maharani Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Goa Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Savadamam Prajaja Mamikam Saranam Bhagya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, text number 66. Anyway, some of you may know this. This is the most, probably one of the most quoted verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So if you know it, please repeat. If not, just wait for that thing. Savadamam Parichaja Mamekam Saranam Raja. Aham tam sava papebhyo mokshayishami masuchaha savadaman parichaja mamekam sharanam raja aham tam sava papebhyo mokshayishami masuchaha. Somebody else. Mokshayishami masuchaha.
Chaita Amekam Saranam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami Masucha. Ladies, Sarvadhamam Prachita Sarvadhaman, all varieties of religion, Prichija, abandoning, Mam, unto me, Ekam, only, Sharanam, for surrender, Braja, go, Aham, I, Twam, you, Sava, all, Papebhya, from sinful reactions, Mokshayishyami, will deliver, Ma, do not. Shucha, worry. Translation. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Please repeat. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord has described various kinds of knowledge and processes of religion, knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, knowledge of the Supersoul, knowledge of the different types of orders and statuses of social life, knowledge of the renounced order of life, knowledge of non-attachment, sense and mind control, meditation, etc. He has described in so many ways different types of religion. Now, in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions, for the Lord personally promises to protect him. In the seventh chapter, it was said that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus, one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is automatically freed. There is no need of strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him. The process of surrender to Krishna is described in the Hari Bhakti Balas, 11.676. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya vajanam, rakshisyastiti vishvaso, gupritvivaranam tata, atma nikshepa kapanye, tadvida saranagati. According to the devotional process, one should simply accept such religious principles that will ultimately lead to the devotional service of the Lord. One may perform a particular occupational duty according to his position in the social order, but if by executing his duty one does not come to the point of Krishna consciousness, all his activities are in vain. Anything that does not lead to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. One should be confident that in all circumstances Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to that. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord, in full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes freed from all contamination of material nature. There are different processes of religion and purificatory processes by cultivation of knowledge, meditation in the mystic yoga system, etc. But one who surrenders unto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. That simple surrender unto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time. One can thus make all progress at once and be freed from all sinful reactions. One should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna. His name is Krishna because he is all attractive. One who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is fortunate. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. Some of them are attached to the impersonal Brahman vision. Some of them are attracted by the supersoul feature, etc. But one who is attracted to the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and above all, one who is attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna himself, is the most perfect transcendentalist. In other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Kama yogis, empiric philosophers, mystics, and devotees are all called transcendentalists, but one who is a pure devotee is the best of all. The particular words used here, ma suchaha, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry, are very significant. One may be perplexed as to how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and simply surrender unto Krishna, but such worry is useless. Om Jnanatimrindasya Jnananjanan Shlakaya Chakshur Malatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovastam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam. Krishna is the ultimate person. He is the greatest hero. He is the best friend. And he is the only one who can really help us or his devotees. In fact, we have to approach Krishna through his devotees. But Krishna, he sends his devotee to those that are sincere, searching for the truth. Because the material world is a very difficult place. I'm sure some of you know that. It's full of problems. And we don't want to grow old, but we have to grow old. We don't want to die, we have to die. But Krishna is the kindest, so how can he allow this to happen? How can he allow a newborn baby to be blind and starving and have AIDS? How can Krishna, who is the kindest person, allow that? The fact is that all the reactions that the living entities undergo are simply due to their own past activities. And therefore, if we do not follow the principles of religion, real religion, Sanatana Dharma means the eternal religion of the soul. The soul is eternally full of knowledge, full of happiness and bliss. But when we take on this material body, we develop a desire to enjoy the senses. And we have so many different ways to gratify the senses, beginning with the tongue. And so we come to this material world looking to enjoy ourselves, but the material world is made in such a way that only a fool can really be happy in this material world. There are two types of happy people. In this world, the gross materialist and the transcendentalist. So the devotees are very, very fortunate because they have the opportunity to love Krishna. And that's really what love is all about. That's what life is all about, I should say. That life is all about developing love for Krishna, because without developing love for Krishna, then we cannot be happy. Because love is the basic need of the soul, and love is what everybody's hankering for. And when we try to enjoy our senses in different ways, it's just a replacement for the love that is inherently ours as parts and parcels of Krishna. So the real religion is the eternal religion of Krishna consciousness, and that this religion has been going on for millions of years, because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Imam vivasvate yogam praktivahan aham avyayam, I first instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Bivasvan, and Bivasvan instructed Manu, the father of mankind. So this knowledge is eternal, and that it's practiced on all planets, on the heavenly planets, the living entities, they're also devotees, but they're not. But they're distracted because there are so many different types of enjoyments. If you read the Mahabharata, you'll find that the denizens of the heavenly planets, they're encumbered with so many sense objects, which are much more enjoyable than the sense objects in the material world. So it is said that the Kali Yuga is the best time to take place, to take birth, I mean, excuse me. So Krishna, he asks us to surrender to him. So the basis of religion, what is the basis of religion? It is cleanliness, truthfulness, mercifulness, and austerity. So these are the only way that we can actually practice true religion is to follow these principles very, very carefully. To be truthful. Prabhupada gives the example of that if a really truthful person, if somebody comes to steal their money and they ask, where is your money? They will tell them where their money is. I don't know if I'm that truthful, but that's what Prabhupada said, that's truthful. So truthfulness is apparently the only quality that's left in this age. Out of all the four basic principles of religion, the pillars of religion, this is the only one that is partly remaining. So we can see that where is the truthfulness? Of course, in one sense, the government is trying to make the big pharmaceutical companies be truthful. Because when you buy this particular drug, because you get depression, the whole bottom part of the advert in USA Today in small print is about all the side effects, including suicide and so many bad things that can happen if you take this particular drug. So in one sense, there's a little bit of truthfulness. But the other three pillars of religion, they've gone. Where is the mercifulness? There is no mercy in society. Where is cleanliness? So mercifulness is destroyed when people kill animals. So therefore, the majority of people in the world are merciless. Maybe they don't think about it. But if you tell them, they say, well, meat tastes very nice. I can't give up eating meat. So, but the body is designed for the vegetarian diet. Krishna is so kind. This is why we should love Krishna, because Krishna is the kindest person. And he's given so many different ways to enjoy in a spiritual way. And of course, prasadam is one of the wonderful ways that we can serve Krishna. We honor prasadam. We honor prasadam because prasadam is Krishna. And because it's offered to Krishna, Krishna actually tastes it when it's offered with love. He says, Patram pushpam plam playam yome bhakti prayachati. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Even if you can only offer a leaf, it doesn't matter. Prabhupada says, what rich man would begrudge a poor man a leaf from one of the trees in his garden if the poor man wants to offer Krishna a leaf? So anybody can get a leaf. You don't have to have any money. You can just offer anything, anything that Krishna wants, and Krishna will be happy. So it's the love. So Krishna is so kind that he's made it so easy for us to serve him. And so when we take prasadam, we know that prasadam tastes better than anything else. There's no replacement for prasadam. You know, ever since I've been a devotee, 38 years or whatever it is, I've never ever wanted to eat anything other than prasadam, because prasadam is so wonderful and it totally satisfies you. So, you know, the world, Prabhupada wanted these restaurants all over the world, Govinda's restaurants. He wanted us to show people, just like people like to eat steak, dead cows. Okay, so Prabhupada said that if we give them curd, you know, the curd from the cow, then that can replace the taste of the steak. So mercilessness is common in the modern age, and Prabhupada talks so much about cow protection. If we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, I was reading it this morning, about cow protection, that cow protection, Prabhupada said in the purport, that every Sanatanist means, does anyone know Sanatanist? Sanatan Dharma means the eternal principles of religion. So Sanatanist is one who follows the eternal principles of religion. So he said that every household of Sanatanist should keep a cow and maintain the cow and get the milk from the cow. So, of course, this is not so easy. You live in an apartment in New York. What can you do? But at least we should know that this is real religion, to protect cows. Krishna himself, he was a cowherd boy. You know, we think maybe this is all mythology. I hope you don't. Probably you don't. But what does it mean that Krishna came as a cowherd boy to teach us how to live? To teach us the best way to live is to live a simple lifestyle, to live off the land, to grow your own food. This should be the goal of devotees. Why should we live in a horrible, dirty, smelly, expensive city? We should try to figure out ways that we can live simply and live close to nature, because nature is so wonderful. If you've ever grown any food, it's inconceivable how nature works. You plant a little seed, you put a little water on it, and this wonderful vegetable or fruit or whatever it is, you see the, I mean, if you've ever smelt an orange tree in blossom, how many of you smelt an orange tree in blossom? So you know, there's no smell that, you know, like opium. The perfume. They have so many Chanel number 5. My mother used to like that. So they have so many, you know, perfumes, so many names. But where is the smell compared to what nature's created? So Krishna created nature. So we should understand how nature is inconceivably working. And it's so just an example of Krishna's extraordinary potency. Just like this bird. There's a bird that migrates from Canada every year. It's a plover, some kind of plover. And it has to, it goes to Canada. It goes from Canada to Hawaii. And it takes so many hours. And the bird weighs about 4.5 ounces. So it has to eat enough, exactly the right amount, to get as far as Hawaii. It can't eat too much, because if it eats too much, it can't flap its wings. But it flies in a certain formation that, you know, you've seen birds flying a V formation. So by flying like that, it saves 31% of its energy. It travels at about 30 miles an hour. So it has to eat exactly the right amount, because if it ate too much, it wouldn't be able to fly, and if it didn't eat enough, it wouldn't make it. And there's no islands on the way, and it can't swim. So it has to be exactly the right amount. So if evolution was a fact, how did that bird evolve to know exactly how much to eat? Because if it didn't eat enough, it would have fallen into the ocean, and it would never have gotten back to tell the other birds, this is how much you should eat. So, and if it ate too much, it would have dropped into the ocean and died, and then it wouldn't have been able to tell them how much to eat. So this is nature, that the nature is programming every species of life exactly. The body is so well designed. So, you know, we can't understand that. How can anybody understand how this amazing material creation, this is just Krishna's inferior energy. Just imagine how amazing the spiritual world is. that in the spiritual world, even the stool smells like roses. Everything is there in the spiritual world. When Radharani cooks for Krishna, Krishna comes home after being out with his friends at night. I don't know what they're doing, but he comes home and then he goes to bed early in the morning, pretends to have been there all night, and he wakes up. Mother Yashoda wakes him up, and then she sends one of her friends to go and get Radharani. So Radharani comes to the kitchen in Nanda Maharaj's house, and she cooks for Krishna. Radharani is the greatest cook. We all know that. So she cooks, and she uses the same ingredients that we have in this world. She uses ginger, she uses turmeric, she uses so many of the same things. And the food is just beyond description. So Krishna eats, but he doesn't eat too much because he doesn't want to look greedy. Although he eats everything with his eyes, he tastes the love of Radharani. So the spiritual world is like that. So we have this opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. We have to follow these regulative principles. So when Prabhupada inaugurated ISKCON and gave initiation, he said, when you take initiation, you have to make a vow. You know, no illicit sex, no intoxicants, no gambling, and no meat eating. This is cleanliness, truthfulness, mercifulness, and austerity. So these are the principles of religion. So where do we find that in other religions? Of course, there may be some people that follow those principles. There may well be. But generally speaking, it's not the case. And therefore, even though the majority of the religious people in this country are of a particular religion, there's so many animals are being killed every day, every day. And the cow specifically is the creature that Krishna has given us for optimum health. The milk products are the miracle food. Miracle. They increase the brain because the brain is made of fatty tissues. And the milk is the perfect food for the brain and for the bones and the teeth. Because a lot of people, especially the ladies, they get osteoporosis, which is where the brains become brittle, where the bones become brittle. The bones become brittle. My brain's a bit brittle, I'm sorry. But, you know, they fall over. And they, like my mother, she fell over and broke her hip recently. And, you know, she never got out of bed again. So, you know, this body is a very good machine. And it has to be looked after very, very carefully. Because Krishna is a super craftsman. He empowered Lord Brahma to create this material world. And this material body, this physical form, is very well designed. And it requires specific things to be put into it. And if we put the wrong thing in it, we're going to get sick. And if we think the wrong thing, we're going to get sick. Because a lot of Prabhupada explained how disease comes from anxiety and overeating and oversleeping. And so when we do not control the mind, then we also get diseases. So we have to be very positive in life. And it's said that if you wear tilak, then it makes you more positive in life, believe it or not. One of the side benefits of tilak. So, as far as illicit sex, these four regulative principles are very important. They're hard to follow because the whole world is designed based on the attraction between male and female. This is described in the fifth canto by Lord Rishabhdev, Pumsa Sriya Mitanibhava Metach Tayo Mitagriham. Yes. That's right. So The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the heart of the man and the woman, one thinks in terms of my wife, my children, my land, my body, I, me, and mine. And I'm as guilty as everybody else. But this is the basic, shackles. You know what the shackles are, right? The shackles, yeah, the shackles are the chains that they put on the prisoners. They used to have the chain gang back in the demoniac days of the slave trade. They used to put people on the chain gang and chain their legs together and make them work like animals, or tie them to the ships and make them row more slaves, demoniac. So the chains, but Krishna's very clever. We don't actually have to wear chains to be imprisoned. The prison is the attraction for the opposite sex. So this is the one of the very difficult things to overcome, because it's the main attraction in the it's the main deal in the material world. So therefore, it has to be curtailed by righteous marriage. That in the Vedic society, the fair sex, they would dress very unprovocatively. They would, out of respect for the men, because they know that the men often are very lusty, and if they dress in the wrong way, then they're going to fall down mentally. They'll think the wrong thing. So the women would dress without being provocative, and this would help ease the problem with the attraction between the male and the female. As Srila Prabhupada explains, how his mother was never seen in public. The higher class ladies, they were never seen in public. And that Prabhupada's mother, when she went anywhere, she went in a palanquin. Yes. And that when Krishna went into Dwarka or Hastinapur, the ladies were on the roof. They weren't seen by the common man. So this was one way that they tried to control the problem. Of course, in India, they didn't really have any divorce until recently. Now, of course, everyone's wearing Levi jeans. They've got Levi jean shops over there. And so, you know, there's a lot more illicit sex and abortions and everything else. So many abortions. So then intoxicants is another big fall down in this day and age, that so many people take intoxicants. I know people that immediately when they get up, they have to drink coffee. Of course, this isn't a very grave sin to drink, you know, a cup of coffee, but it's not really necessary, because if you're enlivened from within, you actually feel you want to get up. You want to go to the temple. You want to see the deities. And you're enthused in life. But people take intoxicants because they're not happy. They're not satisfied. But the soul is so wonderfully designed to be full of happiness and knowledge. But we cover over the soul and the happiness of the soul by taking intoxicants. But the happiness can be gradually reawakened by following these principles and by chanting Hare Krishna. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the magical sound that reawakes our dormant love of Krishna. So even though it's not so easy to chant 16 rounds a day, but still we do it, because this was the order of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was our best well-wisher. He came, Krishna sent him, Radharani sent him, and so he asked us to chant 16 rounds a day. And even though it's difficult to chant, we should have faith in the holy name, because the holy name will deliver us from this ocean of suffering. This material world is an ocean of suffering. Go to Japan. Go, you know, to Haiti. So many places. Go to an old person's home. so many places where there's so much suffering. But Krishna wants us to get out of the material world. So therefore, he comes here to show us his wonderful pastimes. Krishna is so kind that when he came to this material world, he exhibited his beautiful pastimes. And so we should be eager to hear about these wonderful pastimes of Krishna, because these are the medicine. This is the antidote to being attracted to anything in the material world, as to hear about Krishna. But that taste takes some time to develop. So patience is a very important part of spiritual life, that we have to be patient. It doesn't happen overnight. We've been in the material world maybe for millions of lifetimes, trying to forget about Krishna, trying life as a fish. We've been a bird. We've been so many different forms of life. So finally, we've got this human form of life. And we're conditioned. We're conditioned with the concept that I am this body. This body is me. This body is meant for my enjoyment. But as soon as we turn to Krishna, surrender to Krishna, do what Krishna wants you to do, Krishna will never let you down. Krishna is your greatest friend. So if you just chant Hare Krishna with faith 16 rounds a day, then the medicine will act and you will become cured of this material disease. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and he was even more merciful than Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya came, there's a beautiful pastime with Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, he descended with Krishna to help him enact his pastimes in this material world. So Sanatan Goswami, he went to see Lord Chaitanya. And he had been in the jungle, and he had some sores all over his body from drinking the bad water in the Jarakanda forest. So he went to see Lord Chaitanya. And he had these sores, and he felt ashamed. He felt dirty. His sores smelt bad. And they were running sores. They were using some kind of liquid. And so he didn't want to see Lord Chaitanya. And when he went to see Lord Chaitanya would embrace him. And he would feel even worse. Lord Chaitanya was embracing him. And so he decided, I've got to kill myself. This is too much. I can't let the Lord embrace me. So he decided he would throw himself under the Rathayatra cart. He said, because, you know, somebody who dies under the Lord's vehicle will become liberated. So he was thinking like that. And Lord Chaitanya is omniscient. He knows everything. So he knew exactly what Sanatana Goswami was thinking. So the next time Sanatana Goswami came to see him, he said, your body is not your body. That's my body. How can you think of killing yourself? I own your body. I have many things that I want to do through your body. One who takes the life of someone who steals another property is a criminal. You're a criminal. That's my body. You've surrendered to me. So when we surrender to Krishna, when we get initiated, we belong to Krishna. We always belong to Krishna. But we should know that when we actually take initiation, it means you willingly give yourself to Srila Prabhupada and to the mission of Krishna consciousness. So it's a very big thing getting initiated. It's forever. It's not just for a few years. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. So, you know, before we get initiated, we should think about it very, very seriously. Anyway, so Sanatana Goswami, he went to see Lord Chaitanya again. And Lord Chaitanya said, I have so many things to do through you. And he kept embracing him. And Sanatana Goswami felt so bad. And then Lord Chaitanya, he explained that actually, you are like my child. The mother, she does not resent the baby when the baby passes stool. To the mother, the stool smells like sandalwood. So your body To me, it smells very wonderful because Lord Chaitanya, he appreciated so much the devotees for his life and soul. So it's said that if somebody sees a devotee with a deformed body or the deities to be made of stone or just some material substance, then they're a resident of hell. They have a hellish mentality. So we should see the devotees, and sometimes it may not be easy because not all devotees, including me, we all have, you know, ideal Vaishnava qualities, but we should try to see, especially devotees, they're special people, they're rare, and they're very important to Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, he said, your body smells so wonderful, it's like a specific paste which is made out of sandalwood and musk and two other things, which I can't remember. It's called Chatushama. Anyone remember? Anyway, it's a beautiful smell. So he said, I'm a sannyasi as well. If I saw your body, because the Bhagavad Gita says, one who sees stones and gold and enemies and friends equally, he's actually advanced in knowledge. So if I saw your body as being contaminated, I wouldn't be a real sannyasi, because a sannyasi is beyond any dualities. He sees everything equally. So, anyway, this is Lord Chaitanya. He gave so much mercy to Sanatana Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya gives mercy to anybody. Anybody who goes out, especially to try and bring people to Krishna. So anybody can do that. We just go out on Harinam. Anybody can go out on Harinam, try to wear a dhoti and tilak. Srila Prabhupada was bringing a culture. Prabhupada liked us to try to bring back the traditional culture of India. So we have a particular dress style, particular diet. Everything is very specific. And so Prabhupada, he was happy to see people. He said, when my devotees, when they are dancing, previously they were hippies, but when they become devotees, they're like straight from Vaikuntha. So anyway, when Lord Chaitanya gives his mercy, when we try to spread Krishna consciousness, even in a small way, whatever way it is, we get so much mercy. Just, and there's so many people out there, just like here we have Clayton. So Clayton, he got a book. He works in a glass shop. And the person whose house he went to, I won't mention their names, especially her name, but she's a great devotee, Agura Bhakta. And so he was given a book. And from reading that book, his whole life changed, and now he's a devotee. So isn't that nice? Hare Krishna. So anyway, we have this wonderful philosophy, and it just gets better and better. So if you take it seriously, you'll be very surprised at how wonderful it is. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. I guess if there's any questions, one question, two questions. Anyway, everyone's gone. It's all right. Okay, you have a question? Yes, Mother Sukada. Karmic reaction.
Yeah, but we can't always tell. Like, you know, you gave the example of someone being born in a certain way, because if we look at, like, the history of Jet Bharat,
yeah,
you know, that sometimes, especially the worries,
right,
the Krishna's trying to help that person.
True.
You know, be compassionate
to
the world, just get closer.
Yeah.
We don't always know why. You know?
That's a fact. Yeah, we never, you never know what's going to happen to you either. I mean, you might be a devotee, but something so-called bad may happen. But a devotee is always surrendered to Krishna. And this test is what Krishna wants to see, is that no matter what Krishna puts you through, that from the core of your heart, you still offer your respects to Krishna. You still try to love Krishna because you know that Krishna would never try to harm you in any way, that Krishna is only trying to help you. So if he puts you into a difficult situation, it's only for your betterment. And maybe there was no other way that you would learn the lesson, that you had to go through this. And maybe it's horrible and you can't stand it, but you have to tolerate it. Krishna's trying to teach us to be tolerant. It's not that because we become devotees, everything's very easy. Sometimes it's very difficult. The Pandavas, they had so many problems, but they never flinched in their faith for Krishna. So this is the test of a true devotee, that no matter what Krishna puts us through, we always love Krishna. And then Krishna showers his blessings on us more and more and more. Thank you. Hare Krishna.